Katie's gone with...
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. As usual on a Sunday, we'll do a little recap of some of the action yesterday. Nice action, highlighted obviously by Tampa. We talked yesterday to Ren Carruthers. Ellis Starr hit on the Tampa races. Ellis tossed in the Withers in New York. We'll look at that as well. And much, much more. We'll also do a little handicapping and maybe toss in some news and notes as well on this Sunday morning. Big game day. It's a big day here at the Clubhouse Racebook for the big game. Starting early, we'll have a bankroll this afternoon. I'll have $300 to play on behalf of the bankroll team. We'll select 15 people. And if you come in beginning of the afternoon and put in your name, we'll draw about 1 o'clock, I guess, for the team. I'll be playing all afternoon long for... the team hopefully knocking it out of the park with the $300 bankroll. The end of the day, we'll split up the money amongst the team. That'll happen this afternoon. If you come down, enjoy a lot of great racing action and play along perhaps with the bankroll either on the team or if you don't make the team, maybe just get some ideas. But a little bit later on, it's big game day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Our food vendor, Fredella's, will have $10 pizzas and 50-cent wings and their own big game party right here in the Clubhouse Racebook. All the TVs will shift over to football action, 6:30 to 10:30. The Chiefs and the Eagles facing off, and you can come down here, bring your friends down, be a great venue to enjoy the football action this evening. Great food available from Fredella's and lots of TVs to watch the action on. And as I say, a great spot if you want to watch with the friends and root along. All evening long, 6:30 to 10:30, right here, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, all day long. Bankroll early, football late, what could be better? All right, let's jump into the action, and we'll start things out at Tampa, because, as I say, they kind of highlighted the day with the Sam Davis, their prep for the Tampa Bay Derby in about 4 weeks. It was a kind of a fun, interesting big field. You know, we talked about it with the guests yesterday. I wasn't sure what to do with Litigate because my first thought was I'm going to use Litigate on top, and then I shied away because the prior to yesterday, the second place finish in optional claiming company was behind Cyclone Mischief, who kind of freaked that day and threw in a big number and then ran seventh last week in the Holy Bull. And in the lead-up to yesterday, Thursday and Friday, I heard some podcasts and radio shows where folks were kind of discounting that as a barometer. In other words, they weren't looking at that as this is kind of a negative look with Cyclone Mischief. They were kind of giving Cyclone Mischief maybe a pass in the Holy Bull and thinking still on Litigate. I wasn't sure what to do with that, so I used it as a little bit of a barometer. Subsequently, I put Litigate down in the fourth spot. I took a little shot against WNL, the Remsen winner. Remsen's got a kind of a mixed bag. If you look, it pulled up the winners earlier. You know, you wind up, WNL obviously won last year. Year before that, Mo Donegal, who certainly went on to have a good career, won the Belmont Stakes, won the Wood Memorial. So that was okay. But then Brooklyn Strong and Shotsky, Maximum Mischief, Catholic Boy, before that Motown Mohamed, Leave the Lights On, Honor Code was in there, Overanalyze, Oprado Again, To Honor and Serve. You go down Buddy's Scent, Old Fashioned. So there are some names that ring a bell because they went on to do some nice things, and some names not so much. So as I say, that Remsen is a little bit of a mixed bag, but coming out of the Remsen victory, WNL was likely to be the favorite. That is the way it worked out. WNL went off at 2-1. I took a little shot with Prairie Hawk. I had Ellis Starr on yesterday. He liked that one as well. Went off at 8-1, but wound up ninth, the number two horse. You can see the Chicklet way back there. But it is Litigate. You can see the number 11, Luis Saez on board. Groveland runs second. Classic Car Wash at 12-1. The Marcassi trainee is going to get the third place photo there. Classic Legacy runs fourth. Zydeco fifth. WNL eighth at 2-1. Jose Ortiz was quoted as saying, or Danny Gargan said, Jose said to him, just it wasn't his day and didn't show up. Prairie Hawk, Sammy Camacho on board, had maybe a little bit of trouble, but and to me was worth taking a little bit of a shot at with the record coming in, having won the last two starts and two out of three. But stepping into Stakes Company yesterday, Prairie Hawk, again, a little bit of trouble. We'll see what this one does going forward. But WNL, and WNL did have a little trouble early, and Danny Gargan was subsequently quoted as saying once he had the trouble, he just kind of checked out of the race. And, you know, he's a non-threatening eighth, and again, it's never in it. All of that said, Litigate gets it done. Litigate going out for Todd Pletcher and Centennial Farms. I saw Don Little in the winner's circle from Centennial walking the horse in, and he had some of the post-race quotes, the articles that were out there as a Pletcher assistant had come over with Litigate. It is notable, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. This was the seventh win in the Sam Davis for Todd Pletcher, so he has a little bit of a strangle. As I say, I debated using Litigate. You got $7 and change as the second choice with that one. The betting public wasn't as leery as I was, and they were right. So now a couple of wins and a second and three starts. Stakes debut yesterday. We'll see. You know, they're still up in the air as to what's next, but having shown a little bit of an affinity for Tampa, maybe back for the Tampa Bay Derby, we'll see what Litigate does next. But again, Litigate looked good. Some of the other logicals were a little bit on the no-show side of things. So we shall see how things shake out. WNL being the most notable, and we'll see how things shake out for some of those horses. And then watch with a little bit of interest what Litigate chooses as the next spot. And again, with a nice win over the Tampa Bay surface, the Tampa Bay Derby seems kind of logical, but there was no commitment one way or the other in the post-race quotes that I read. One race earlier, the three-year-old fillies, you know, the Sam Davis on the path to the Tampa Bay Derby and perhaps the Kentucky Derby, the Suncoast on the path to perhaps the Kentucky Oaks. Certainly that is what you would think they're thinking about with the two-year-old champion Wonder Wheel. She was making her three-year-old debut yesterday. Marcassi very high on this horse right from the beginning. Lived up to it last year. Again, getting the Eclipse Award as the two-year-old filly. Wonder Wheel in her three-year-old debut yesterday went off at 1-2. Julia Shining was the horse I said yesterday I was really intrigued to see. Julia Shining, a full sibling to Malathat. And if you follow the game closely, I'm sure you saw both of the first starts because of the full sibling to Malathat, trained by Todd Pletcher, owned by Stone Street. All eyes were on the debut back in October at Keeneland, where the horse looked well beaten on the back straight. Oh, okay, not going to live up to the older sibling Malathat. And then she comes with this great late charge and wins that career debut, but with the buyer was only a 71. Followed that up with a similar scenario on the Demoiselle. Looked well beaten and then got going in the stretch and got up, and the buyer was only a 70. So she had two visually impressive performances, crazy breeding, great connections. What was she going to do yesterday? Julia Shining is going to wind up third here. And it is going to be a ding-dong battle down to the wire. On the front end, all the way around, 38-1, Dreaming of Snow, Sammy Camacho on board, local connections, trained by Gerald Bennett, you know, the kind of the kingpin down there on the training side. And that's Wonder Wheel, who you felt was going to push on by for a while, and then you realize just kind of hanging, not getting by. Julia Shining there runs third. But again, a ding-dong battle between the top two. Gerald Bennett said, man, that, you know, fulfilled my dream there. I got it done. Sammy Camacho said, wow, I beat Wonder Wheel. And again, $78 for Dreaming of Snow. I had her down at the bottom of my mix. I had her in the fourth spot because she had a couple of wins and four career starts and was trained by Gerald Bennett. Sammy Camacho was on board and had popped an incredible bullet 46 workout just a week ago. So she was intriguing, but it seemed like those top three probably had a notable edge on her. It didn't work out that way yesterday. I will note, the track was listed fast virtually all day. I think even in the, Sam Davis, it was listed fast. But if you look at the chart, the weather is listed as showery. And if you were watching yesterday, there was rain towards the end of the program. So there was, had to be a, you know, still listed as fast, had to be a little moisture in the track. Who knows if that affected any of these. That would be a bad excuse. And Mark Cassie had no excuse. He said, I'm happy with the three-year-old debut. Not happy, I'm not directly quoting. I think he was satisfied is maybe a better word. And he kind of harkened back to the second place finish in the spin away. And both he and Tyler Gaffleone said there are bigger things to come. This was just a great starting point for Wonder Wheel. But they have to be really thrilled, Dreaming of Snow. Dreaming of Snow, again, four starts and a couple of wins. The other two were fourth place finishes, including two stakes tries. The two wins were Maiden Special and an optional claimer. The two fourth place finishes were a couple of stakes tries, the Sandpiper and the Gasparilla down here at Tampa. So pretty nice turnaround to come out of those fourth place finishes and finally break through in a stakes race over the two-year-old champion. So Dreaming of Snow gets it done yesterday. And I had buyers up here. Litigate in the Sam Davis gets a 76, which, you know, this time of year for a three-year-old, that's not jumping off the page. Dreaming of Snow, 83. Significantly better than she never done before. Top buyer prior was 73. So Dreaming of Snow, that was a nice move forward, a nice performance yesterday to upset the Suncoast. And again, we'll see where she goes. Does she step out of Tampa and get on this Kentucky Derby trail, which would be fun for a guy like Gerald Bennett, as they say. I believe I read one of the articles, 74 years old maybe, but perennial leader or amongst the leaders down there at Tampa every year. A little bit earlier on the card, really nice performance in the Pelican. Talking yesterday, I thought Sibelius probably had the edge on this bunch, given the form she was in coming out of Mr. Prospector win over at Gulfstream last time. You go down a few starts, there were a couple of triple-digit buyers. So I was going in that direction and thought, again, Sibelius had the edge. Went off at 8-5, and Sibelius does get it done here on the front end all the way around. Sibelius is the number 5 horse. Dr. Oscar at 9-1 second, number 10, Gatsby third. And you can see it's close here, it's ding-dong, and then as we get down to the last 100 yards or so, Sibelius pulls away a little bit. Charge margin is going to be a length and a quarter. A very nice performance, 108.75. Sibelius with a a 100 buyer, so a nice triple-digit buyer performance. And again, looked to me to have the edge, did have the edge. Jerry O'Dwyer, Jr. Alvarado teaming up $5.20. So a short price, and I thought deservedly so. As you heard people over, you know, the week, as I said, I was listening to some podcasts and radio shows and stuff. I don't know if other people were quite as convinced. Betting public clearly was, making it the 3-2 choice. And yet earlier, the Phillies and Mariners sprinting. And we're gonna see a couple of nice performances in this category. This is Phillies and Mariners. Over at Oaklawn, it was 3-year-old Phillies. But as I say, a couple of nice performances of female sprinters to watch going forward. I liked Olivia Darling in this race, and I was taking a little bit of a shot against Caramel Swirl. Caramel Swirl was likely to go off as the short price favorite and did at 2-5. Bill Mottraini, who was graded stakes winner, last seen running second in the Ballerina behind Goodnight Olive up at Saratoga. So there was a little bit of a layoff, but probably had the class edge. And I said yesterday, you know, off a layoff like that, this is probably a clever start for the career, a $50,000 stakes race at Tampa. But I just wondered, if you're going to take a shot against, maybe this is the time to do it off the layoff. And Olivia Darling, who had shipped over to Tampa to win a race on January 14th, that one attracted my attention. So I was looking at Olivia Darling. But, yikes, on the front end all the way around under Daniel Santino, it is Draferos getting it done. And this horse came in with a 3-race win streak, 3 wins and 4 career starts. And Draferos, you can see, is going to hold off Olivia Darling. I thought right here, I thought maybe we'll get the momentum in. And then you realize, nope, I'm not going to get the momentum. We'll go by. The momentum is with Draferos, who does get it done on the front end very, very nicely at 7-1. Olivia Darling second, My Destiny third. And at 2-5, Caramel Swirl disappoints, running fourth in there. Draferos, a solid 85 buyer. That was a lifetime best. And as I say, other than this is a 4-year-old now, started the career at the end of the 2-year-old season. The debut was December 23rd of 2021 at Gulfstream, ran third there. Since then, 3 wins, a couple of late spring summer wins at Monmouth, June and July, then laid off from that July start until January of this year at Gulfstream, had a nice win. So 2 Monmouth wins, the Gulfstream win on the comeback, and now steps into Stakes Company and get it done. As they say, this and the 3-year-old filly over at Oaklawn, we'll look at in a few, I think, notable female sprinters that we should be paying attention to. Olivia Darling, I thought, ran well. Just Draferos had the jump and still had the momentum. Caramel Swirl, you know, off a long layup, you don't really read too much into that one start, but we'll see what she does next time and maybe get a little bit more of a barometer on what's up with her going forward. But Draferos looking very good there in the minaret. So there was your stakes action at Tampa. Also had some nice stakes at Aqueduct yesterday, including the Withers on the 3-year-old trail in New York as well. Notable that this one was pushed back last week, you know, with the super cold temperatures. Aqueduct took a couple days off, so the Withers was supposed to be last week, moves to this week, winds up with a nice field in here. Arctic Arrogance for Linda Rice, a very, very talented New York bred, had run well in New York bred stakes and then stepped out and just missed behind W&L in the Remsen, and also just missed earlier this year in the Jerome. So this is a New York bred that can go either way and was in against Open Company yesterday in the Withers, and Arctic Arrogance ran decently. But I put Hit Show on top. Hit Show came out of a allowance optional claimer at Oaklawn, a nice win. And Brad Cox was thinking about the Southwest, but then didn't want to go against Arabian Night. Probably a good move. So he aimed here. The extra week didn't hurt, obviously. This is Hit Show, the number 4 horse, not only going by Arctic Arrogance, but opening up Chart margins 5.5. The odds 6-5 is the favorite. Arctic Arrogance, again, the New York bred. Nice third, General Banker. Nice second, General Banker third. Indiamo Firenze, the Firenze Fire sibling, runs fourth in the field of seven. But, boy, it was a really nice performance from Hit Show, a 91 buyer. And, again, Litigate with the 76, three-year-old this time of year. That's a little late. 91 is a solid number. Clearly a lifetime best number. And this horse has been progressing number-wise, if you're a buyer follower, throughout the career. The 2-year-old season, again, those three starts, 60 buyer, 71 buyer, 82 buyer. That 82 was in that optional claimer back in December down at Oaklawn. And again, they came out of that thinking, well, let's try the Southwest. And then Brad Cox looked, and let's not go in against the Baffert Monster Arabian night. Let's take our shot. We'll go up to New York. And Brad Cox was quoted in the Dave Granick article as saying, you know what, I thought he might like the New York tracks because both of, you know, Sire and Dam were winners there. And sure enough, Actress, the Dam, won the Comely, Tappet, the Sire, won the Wood Memorial. And the Offspring seemed to like Aqueduct as well, getting it done yesterday. Final time, and again, as they say, he comes up with a solid 91 buyer off a final time of a mile and an eighth, 154.71. And you look at that time, and wow, how did he come up with a 91 buyer? You read the Dave Grenig article, and Dave's at the track every day, and I'm quoting here, the Aqueduct track, quote, has just not produced fast times all winter. And so I think that's got factored in, obviously, to the buyer figure, because it was a solid number there, no question about it. Arctic Arrogance runs second. Linda Rice came out of it and said, you know what, he may be better going a little bit shorter. So we were thinking about, we come out of this, we'll head to the Wood. But at this point now, maybe the cutback to the Mile Gotham on March 4th. So Arctic Arrogance, the New York bred, again, runs second for the third time in Open Stakes Company, and maybe headed to the Gotham in a few weeks at Aqueduct to cut back to that one-turn mile. A little bit earlier on the card at Aqueduct, it was the Jimmy Winkfield for the three-year-old sprinters, and I thought Drew's Gold looked good in here. Two for two, comes in from out of town, debuted at Churchill back in May, and won the maiden special, and then laid off until January. You'd have to think there was some kind of issues, but they weren't significant issues, obviously, in that they didn't stop the horse from getting a win in the second career start in January down at Laurel. So two for two, comes in, Tri-Stakes Company yesterday in the Jimmy Winkfield, and Drew's Gold looked very good getting it done under the apprentice Gomez. Drew's Gold will be in the number four horse here. Clubhouse runs second. Joey Freshwater runs third. The chart margin winds up to be pretty easy, 4.25 lengths. $5.50 is the payout. And Drew's Gold, solid 83 buyer. That ties the buyer from the comebacker at Laurel. And again, how fast was he supposed to go when he had the edge there? We will see where they go. Will they stretch out? Again, the siren call of the big three-year-old races often makes owners and connections with sprinters or with sprint talent to try longer. And for the most part, I can't blame them. And with only three starts, this horse isn't defined really as just a sprinter. We will see, though, if they do stretch out or not. Again, I didn't see anything that was indicating definitively one way or the other, but certainly Drew's Gold looked very good yesterday. Stakes debut, got it done at 6 furlongs, and again with that 83 buyer. Also a couple of stakes down at Gulfstream yesterday, and we'll kick things off taking a look at the Ladies Turf Sprint. I scratched into One Identity. I originally used Miss J. McKay on top, and Miss J. McKay, had she gone, was clearly going to be an overwhelming favorite. So she scratches out. Mamba Wamba wound up to be the 2-1 favorite. But as I say, on a move up after the scratch, I had One Identity on top and got away at 3-1, which was a decent little price, I thought, for a horse that was coming out of the last three starts, a couple of wins, and a third-place finish. So it was coming in very good form for Rohan Creighton. Lopez on board, and they will get it done here in the Ladies Turf Sprint yesterday. 3-1, number six is One Identity. They're a half a length in front of Charlie T, and the favored Mamba Wamba runs third, again at 2-1. But $8.20 here. Nice gutsy performance there on the rail to get the victory for One Identity. And again, at what I thought was a fair price, $8.20 for One Identity. A little bit later on the card, we had the Gulfstream Park Turf Sprint. And I like Karatari in here. Brian Lynch was interviewed in the paddock a couple of races before, I think they tossed out that. And he said, you know, tough spot, but I think we're ready for it. Karatari had shown an affinity for Gulfstream coming into yesterday's race. Six starts on the Gulfstream turf, four wins and a second. The lone off-the-board finish, however, was on December 24th in the Janus, where the horse ran fourth. But that was off a little bit of a layup. I thought maybe be tighter in there. I wasn't sure about Yes I Am Free. Yes I Am Free won this race last year with a triple-digit buyer. Had won the previous start on January 19th, but with an 88 number. So I was not totally convinced on Yes I Am Free. But last year's champion comes back and gets it done over Karatari. Scratch-reduced field of only five. Karatari went off as the 7-5 favorite. Yes I Am Free, the number five horse, at 3-1. You can see here, and Karatari is kind of, you felt for a moment, maybe he'll make it, and then you realize after a couple of strides, Yes I Am Free just has too much left. Gets it done there to, again, repeat. And I typically like those kind of, hey, we're coming back year and year. I like it a little more when the scenario is a little more similar. And I guess it wasn't very far off. Last year, the horse had run fourth in the Janus and then came, you know, the buyer number jumped up. This year had won the optional claimer. The number was a little bit lighter than last year. So I guess you could have made that case. And as I say, I brought, you know, one of those after the race, you kick yourself a little bit that I didn't throw that one into the mix. I had some others that scratched out, however. And at that point, the horse became certainly playable for me even. But again, I was more on Karatari with Yes I Am Free getting it done, as I say, $8.60 there at Gulfstream. A couple of nice little turf sprints on their card. And I mentioned this one earlier. I said, you know, over at Tampa, we had older females sprinting that were probably worth watching going forward. At Oaklawn, I would think coming out of this race, the winner here will be worth watching going forward, and probably even some of the other horses in here, but certainly the winner. I like Stone Silent in the Dixie Belle. Again, three-year-old fillies going six furlongs down at Oaklawn. Silent Belle came in from Southern California after having won a little stakes race in the career debut for John Sadler. They paid $400,000 at a two-year-old sale last year for this one. Had a nice workout. Stone Silent is going to be the number four horse and is the second choice at 5-2. Boy, disappoints running fifth in the field of six. Nice late run from number two, Classy Bridget. 5-2, the third choice, actually. The favorite is Key of Life, the number three, at 6-5. But you can see number two, Classy Bridget, on the inside of number one, Pate, 12-1. That one a little bit of a long shot, but Pate runs very well to just missed by a neck. Classy Bridget, though, as I say, some horses worth watching going forward. Classy Bridget's going to be one of those. Chris Hartman trainee, three-year-old filly, now with a record of five starts, three wins, a couple of seconds. That was the stakes debut. Nice performance. Chris Hartman having a really good meet down there. And they kind of after the race were a little bit unsure. You know, as I say, when you have a three-year-old sprinter, what do you do? And they were unsure. They were kind of thinking, well, we'll stick sprinting, but with this performance, maybe we'll try. And again, it was undefined where the horse will go next. But she'll be worth watching, certainly, out of that victory. And again, it was only career start number 5, stakes debut. She now has a 3-race win streak. All at Oaklawn, however, so there could be a little horse for a course angle at work, but there's still some season at Oaklawn to go, so that could work for them. But again, broke the maiden back in December at Oaklawn, followed that up with a nice win against Optional, really nice win against Optional Claimers, and a gutsy win yesterday by a neck in the Dixie Belle in Stakes Company. So again, Classy Bridget, worth paying attention to as we move ahead. And I just pulled up the El Camino Real as well out in Southern California. Notable because I mentioned it yesterday. It's 3-year-olds. It's that time of year. But it's a win and you're in for the Preakness. And some horses have come out of this historically and done all right in the Preakness. So I thought we'd take a look the El Camino Real yesterday at Golden Gate. It will be the number 2, Chase the Chaos. 4-1 is what the third choice. Gilmore at 9-5 winds up second. Gilmore, the number 1, is a Bob Baffert trainee coming up from Southern California, but getting it done, Chase the Chaos, who is based there at Golden Gate, pretty much. And then the Baffert horse second, Harson runs third. Chase the Chaos started the career at Canterbury, I believe, for Robertino Diodoro. It doesn't say in my the PPs I have right in front of me, but I believe started the career at Canterbury for Diodoro. Close-up second, well, a second in debut, and then one in the second start at Canterbury, then out to Northern California and into the barn of Ed Moger, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and has kind of progressed nicely out there. All last year as a 2-year-old until that race yesterday, but moved out to Southern California, had a couple of stakes placings, then won an Optional claimer, and then yesterday steps into Stakes Company and got it done. So again, Chase the Chaos. Chart margin was a length and a quarter. Maybe worth watching going forward. Again, with the win in your end to the Preakness, might be one to pay attention to in that third Saturday in May at Pimlico. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, do a little handicapping for this afternoon. A little bit later, some news and notes after taking a look at, again, it was kind of fun. Really nice stakes action yesterday, highlighted by a nice card at Tampa. And when the rain started, it's kind of like, this is going to be too bad. But as I say, they were listed as fast. And then the last race was on the turf at Tampa. That was still listed as firm. So it looked showery, and it is described in the chart as showery. And so sometimes on TV it looks a little worse than it is because of the lens kind of compressing things. And I will say, after the Sam Day, I think it was after the Sam Day, the Winner's Circle presentation, it didn't seem like people were ducking the raindrops. So again, it may have looked a little worse on TV than it actually was, which is good because, as I say, when the rain started, you thought, big day, it's not going to fall apart. And it seemed to hold up nicely. All right, we'll take a break, come back, a little handicapping for this Sunday afternoon, and more. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We'll take a look at late pick five at Aqueduct. And again, I checked the usual sources and haven't seen any scratches yet. So we're not putting a ticket together, just giving out some ideas, particularly not knowing what the scratches are yet. But we'll go through that late pick five sequence, which kicks off today in the fifth race at Aqueduct. Conditional claimers, lower level conditional claimers going six. I have it 4, 5, 6, and 8. The 4 is Sweet as Sugar. Laid off from September until January, then showed a little punch before fading to run second. But what jumped out at me, boy, they put a really nice little workout into this one just about a week ago. Nice little bullet work that it seems that I would think would bode well for this afternoon. That said, and I'm not, I was going to say the number 5 is interesting. Cupid Kari's Matt K. Cutie. I'm sure there's a much more clever way to say that. I'll be interested to see. I was going to pull up the replay from some of the earlier races, and I forgot to do that. But it's Cupid and Cupid to start and Cutie at the end, but in the middle, that's where it starts to get a little more questionable. But regardless, it's a horse stepping on a state-bred allowance company into an open optional claimer, an angle I've talked about quite a bit. But the state-bred allowance races that I prefer are New York-bred state-bred races. This one comes up from Pennsylvania, so was facing some Pennsylvania state-bred company. I don't see this enough to know if the angle holds up, but I do think the horse will be a player for Mike Trombetta regardless. So I have that one in the mix, and then London Gold off a nice second-place finish last time in a very similar event. Similar class-wise, it was at 7, so cuts back a furlong today. I think that'll be beneficial. So they look like the logical players there. In the fifth at Aqueduct, 4, 5, 6, and 8. Race number 6 at Aqueduct this afternoon. More conditional claimers going the one turn mile for me. 2, 4, the one entry, and 6. I'm going to put Ava K's Boy on top. 8-1 on the morning line, but I wonder if the class drop doesn't provide a wake up. That said, we're coming off a couple second place finishes, so I think they're dropping by requirement given those finishes, but I do think it's possible if you go further down the page that this one rebounds to some prior good form on the class relief, and that's going to be good enough. So Ava K's boy, I actually, and I read the numbers right, I went back and forth. I have a 2-4, the 1A and 6. Ava K's boy, I actually have down in the second spot. I went back and forth with these. I put Colin Loves the Fight on top at 7-2. So it could be an interesting exacta play in there as well if you played around with those. But Kong Loves the Fight comes in off a second place finish against similar last time, albeit at a mile and an eighth. So it's going two turns, the one turn mile today, I think will be beneficial. So we're going to put that one on top. And then Ava K's boy in the second spot, stretching out from the 7 to the mile. But again, with the class relief, I think that one is eligible. The morning line has the entry favored, Patrick the Great and Bourbon's Hope. I think they're looking at the number on Bourbon's Hope last time, which clearly has an edge on this bunch. But not consistently. I mean, it's just that last number kind of jumps out. Now, maybe the horse gets back to that. Maybe the horse strings a couple together. I just thought consistently this horse isn't doing that kind of a thing. Still might have an edge because some of the numbers underneath are better than some of these others, but incrementally better as compared to the last number. So still may live up to the morning line favoritism. I just wasn't totally convinced. For me in the sixth at Aqueduct, 2-4, the one entry and six. Seventh race at Aqueduct this afternoon, plain vanilla, $25,000 claimers. They will go 3/4 of a mile. I have it 7-8, the one entry and four. Ragtime Blues on top, Linda Rice off the claim. A little bit of a drop off the claim. I'm not sure, I talk about it all the time. You don't like to see a drop off a claim because it's just financially it doesn't really make sense, particularly if the horse is at a little bit of a layoff. You've taken care of the horse now and spent money on it. So it's always a little bit of a concern. This is a step, half a step down, so it's not a huge move down. It is a concern, but Linda Rice good off the claim. And again, the move is just within the range of, okay, I'll accept that kind of, but there is a little bit of trepidation. Print Track in the second spot. This one in the last few starts has been racing against a little bit better. Last time clunked, but prior to that had been racing okay. Again, the last few starts against a little bit better. Going back four starts, however, up at Saratoga, this horse was claimed out of that start for this price and ran a good second. So the last time this horse was at this price level ran well, has some early speed, and you would think returning to the 25 level, that's going to be right in the wheelhouse of Print Track. And then I do have the one entry, Handsome Cat and Senior Jobin. They're going to class up okay as well. And in fact, Handsome Cat, stepping out of allowance company, may outclass this bunch. I just thought, you know, the other two I looked at were a little more intriguing to me. I think they're, even on a best effort by Handsome Cat, they're right there with that one. But a best effort from Handsome Cat with the class relief today maybe makes that one the one to beat. We'll find out more this afternoon. But for me, I went 7-8 in the seventh at Aqueduct, 7-8, the one entry, and four. Eighth race at Aqueduct this afternoon. We're looking at state bred allowance runners going the one turn mile in the eighth. I'm 7-1, 3-4. Late Night Larry on top for Brittany Russell, who again, higher percentage trainer down in the Mid Atlantic. A little tougher when you ship to New York, but she's done so with some success in the past. And this one comes in off a couple of starts at Laurel, including the latest, which just seemed to be a good enough effort to signal that this one, they're probably making a nice move to New York to try this company, because that last race was a nice win against open conditional claimers, solid number on a progression of numbers moving forward. And now the New York bred decides for the first time in the five race career so far to come to New York and try New York breds for a $72,000 purse. And I think they're timing it correctly off that win down at Laurel. Second spot, Joey Loose Lips. Been knocking on the door versus this company in the past couple of starts. Two good second place finishes, two numbers that match up with this bunch. So Joey Loose Lips will clearly be competitive again today. And Safalo's Mission in the third spot for Linda Rice. Nice second place finish last time, and then two starts back. And then last time tossed in a little bit of a clunker. But the number stayed the same, and the number matches up okay with this bunch. So I think given what this horse pretty consistently tosses, I think Safalo's Mission is going to fit with this group this afternoon. In the eighth, 7-1, 3-4. And we'll wrap up that late pick five sequence this afternoon at Aqueduct. Maiden 40 claimers going 6.5. 7-6, 4-8 for me. Paros on top. Linda Rice trainee going maiden special weight to maiden claiming. We'll see. I mean, 7-2 on the morning line with Linda Rice in this class move. I'm curious if the price will hold up. And it's a field where I think that's possible. But off the last number, I think this horse will take a little action too. Certainly that class relief is notable. Jose Lescano jumps on board today. I'll go with Paros on top. Second slot, going to take a look at Super Coach Fred. Good second in debut, right at this level. Always like to see a horse run well in debut. I think that bodes well. We'll see if he can string a couple together. But if so, if we get back to that, or more importantly, if you do get that second start improvement, Super Coach Fred becomes dangerous and Chess Spectacular. Three starts so far, like the top pick. They've all been in maiden special company. Comes back today. Blinkers on. First time gelding. Lasix added. Hasn't been seen since November. Coming back now as a newly turned three-year-old. And dropping in for the tag. I think there are a lot of things to like about this one. And in fact, the morning line. Yeah, at 5-2, that is the morning line favorite there. And probably deservedly so. As I say, there are some things to like, no question about it. In the ninth at Aqueduct, 7, 6, 4, and 8. All right, that gives you some ideas in that late pick 5 at Aqueduct. A lot of good racing today as there was yesterday. Similar scenarios today with Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn. A lot of fun this afternoon. Looking forward to it. So there was a little preview of some Aqueduct. We'll take one more break. And when we come back, we'll take a look at some news and notes on this Sunday afternoon as we head into the home stretch of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. I mean, if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history.
Shoemaker sitting perfectly still. He hasn't touched this magnificent colt, and here comes the finish.
And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back. I mentioned on yesterday's show, there was a debut runner worth maybe taking a look at out at Santa Anita, over $1.5 million purchase at the Keeneland 2021 September yearling sale, making the three-year-old debut in the finale yesterday at Santa Anita Nuclear. John Sadler trains, owned in part by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. And just to recap there, follow up, Nuclear runs third at 9-5. What about 4 lengths back of the winner there in debut? The debut, however, was 6 furlongs on the turf. And the article from the Blood Horse yesterday, the day before, is kind of touting the debut of the horse yesterday. John Sadler was quoted as saying, he'll be better going long second time, but he still has a chance in his first start. But when the trainer is kind of like, eh, you know, maybe the second time, going a little longer. So we'll see what that one does. But yesterday, got the career off to a start out in Southern California Nuclear with the third place finish. And again, 6 furlongs. Sadler thought maybe going a little bit longer would be better. So we'll see what's up next for Nuclear in the career. I mentioned yesterday, and I'll just update today, we do have another Kentucky Derby future pool wager. It will close at 6 o'clock this afternoon, and should be fun to get into. I mentioned yesterday, now that they've expanded the betting field, you can really shop around and potentially get some good odds, and you want good odds. Again, the future pool, here we are, it's February. Your horse has to make it to the starting gate, so you want to demand some value. The shorter prices, to me, are kind of completely uninteresting, but let me just look and see what we have on, first of all, was Litigate, Litigate was in and Hit Show was in too. Let me just update you on where they want. This is pretty good. Litigate, as I say, with the number yesterday, I may not be as enamored. And I'm looking at the Kentucky Derby site, and they say these are live odds. So Litigate, you know, with the number that to me was a little bit light, the buyer a little bit light, 27-1 now. But Hit Show, who had the pretty good number, Hit Show after winning yesterday in New York, 30-1. So I think, to me, that is an interesting number. To once again, yesterday, I was looking down the list and picking out the horses that were going off at shorter prices. And I'll just go through that again. Forte, no surprise, 8-1. Hoosier Philly, I said yesterday, 7-1. Hoosier Philly is actually shorter than Forte. Hoosier Philly has to, as a filly, you have to get the points. You have to face the males early. And do you do that, or do you just think, we'll get our prestige in the Kentucky Oaks? So you have a few obstacles to overcome there to take 7-1. Instant Coffee, 18-1. Interesting horse. I think that price is a little short. You start to get the 15-1. Horses may become interesting. To me, 20-1 or more is more what I'm kind of shopping for. And as they say, Instant Coffee at 18-1 is maybe a little bit short there. Tappet Trice, 13-1's too short. But it's interesting that off of that win the other day, this horse has taken that kind of action that the betting public is now thinking, well, okay, this is, and off the win the other day, I get it. And then All Others, I mentioned yesterday. Yesterday, we were 4-1 with All Others. Today, it's 7-2. I still think that's a pretty good price if you want to take that. Now, All Others has changed, again, because the betting menu used to be 24 horses, 23 individuals, and the All Others. Now it's 40, so 39 separate and All Others. So you have a bigger field there that is taking some horses out of that All Others mix. But the Bob Baffert runners are in the All Others mix at this point. And so until those horses switch trainers, you can wind up with some of those horses. And certainly if the Baffert thing doesn't work out, regardless of which way it goes, some of those runners will wind up in the gate at Kentucky Derby time. And so the 7-2 on All Others looks a little bit attractive. I mentioned yesterday verifying for me at 37-1. I'll probably take a little bit of a pop at that. And just looking to see if they're Red Route 1 for Steve Asmussen, 49-1. I could make a little bit of a case there, perhaps. Just, again, 30-1 on Hit Show. I'll probably take a little pop there. Gulfport, 99-1. General Jim, 44-1. And, oh, W&L. no surprise, W&L after yesterday, 72-1. Now that one, you know, the Remsen winner, and maybe it's, you know, we draw a line through it. I could see taking a little shot, you know, putting a little pop on that at 72-1. Don't forget, this closes at 6 o'clock today, so the odds I'm listing are live. They might change, but you would think after yesterday's results, we won't get too much of a change going forward. Cyclone Mischief, again, off the 7th. Last week, he had that big race two back off the seventh last week. If you're willing to forgive that, you get 95-1 on the Dale Roman's trainee, Cyclone Mischief. So that certainly, Arctic Arrogance. Now, hearing Linda Rice say, you know what, we may cut back to the mile in the upcoming race in New York, maybe makes that one a little bit more of a long shot to get to the Kentucky Derby, but 67-1 there. So there are some prices to be had, certainly, and I think All Others is a lot of fun as well. If you get 7-2 and All Others get you, you know, 6 or 7 maybe in the starting game. I mean, I wouldn't think that would be totally out of the question because it's a different game now. And you know, you go back 20 years and a situation like this with the 39 and horses would have had more of a record. And now that these horses can get a late start and kind of get their way into the Derby, much closer to the Derby. So wouldn't shock me if All Others still got you a few interesting runners in the starting gate at a little bit of a price. And again, you put $20 down there and you're looking in the starting gate and you have a few horses. Then on Derby Day, you have some opportunities maybe to play around a little bit because you already have some backup horses in there. But think about it. I think the future bet is fun. I pick a few spots usually, and I wind up with a few horses in the starting gate. And as I say, on Derby Day, that then maybe offers me some opportunities to play around a little bit and hedge and whatnot. But the today's future pool, this weekend's future pool, closes today at 6 o'clock, so keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind as I wrap up that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook and tonight, it will be a lot of fun. Early on, big game day here at the Racebook. We'll kick off with a big bankroll early. I will have $300 to play on behalf of the bankroll team. They will be chosen about 1 o'clock or so. So come in before that. Put your name in the hat. And there's Frankie Dettori. Frankie Dettori rooting me on for the bankroll. I kind of love that. We'll choose the team. I'll be playing all afternoon. And then we split up the proceeds at the end of the day amongst the team. So come on down. Maybe you get a little extra something for your trouble. But it isn't any trouble because you can come down and have some lunch early, watch some horse racing, and enjoy the action. And then if you want to hang around or just come later with your friends, it's the big game party. Fredella's, our food vendor, putting on the spread, as it were, $10 pizzas, 50-cent wings, and more. That all happens from 6:30 to 10:30. We'll put the big game on the TVs here at the Racebook. And as I say, should be fun if you want to get together with a bunch of your friends. Come down, a little food and drink, and have some fun watching the game, the Eagles and the Chiefs. You can come right down here and enjoy an evening at the Clubhouse Racebook. All our TVs focused on the big game from 6:30 to 10:30 tonight here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, bankroll early, football late. Should be a fun day here on this Sunday at the Clubhouse Racebook. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to be out in the front this afternoon doing the bankroll, so I will wrap it up for TV for this morning. As far as more TV, OTB Live will be back in on the Wednesday as far as that is concerned. Otherwise, if you'd like to stop down at the Racebook and say hello, love to see you this afternoon. Maybe you'll get on the bankroll team. I'll try to make you some money if you do. That's going to be the game plan. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too, so enjoy the racing this afternoon. Good luck, and as I say, as far as TV, we'll see you again on Wednesday, but enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.